Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Crunch time! Crunch time! You're listening to Crunch Time on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Crunch time! Crunch time!
All right, Kansas City, it is crunch time. It is Tim Grunow and Frank Ball, and it is crunch time for college football and all the conferences all over the country as we saw the Big Ten and the Pac-12 kind of put it to the wayside as this week started.
Postponed. Not canceled. It's postponed. Pushed.
And we're going to talk about that here in a second. Yeah, I think that the Pac-12, they're not even talking about spring, are they?
No, they haven't yet. But the Pac-12 also canceled all college basketball non-cons until after the first year. Now, they'll reevaluate as they go.
Right.
But they have time. A couple of the schools there, Cal Berkeley, I know for one, they're remote. They will not have any kids back. USC and UCLA is very limited.
They're a golf school now anyways, Cal Berkeley.
Oh, okay.
As their
what happened to Stanford?
Mishikawa.
What happened to Stanford?
Mishikawa. Colin Mishikawa.
Morikawa.
Morikawa? Is it Mishawaka?
Morikawa.
Mishawaka, South Bend, Mishawaka?
Hey, Tim, stick to football. Okay.
It's Morikawa. At least I knew his first name, Colin.
Yeah, Colin. Yeah.
There you go. Hey, I do want to touch real quick. I tweeted this out a little bit earlier. Howard Mudd, my offensive line coach for the first 5 years I was in Kansas City, passed away today. Injuries. It was kind of occurred during a motorcycle accident. He was, I think he was 78 or 79 years old.
Right up there.
And he was still out living life and enjoying life and riding his motorcycle every day and going up into the mountains. He lived in Seattle. He would go up into the mountains of Washington and did that every weekend. And he was just a great man. He was like a father to me. My father passed away my rookie year, and he kind of took me under his wing as my mentor, and he was a tough, tough coach.
He believed in you, though, boy.
Oh, boy, he did. And, you know, he was probably the reason why I was drafted with the Kansas City Chiefs. I was in the combine when I was a senior in high school, and he ran the group that I was in, and we kind of hit it off there, and we did the interview process, and he asked me most of the questions. And
you were a senior in high school?
Senior in college. Did I say high school?
Yeah.
I felt like it.
Boy, they find you early.
felt like it. But I was a senior in college, yeah. So the reason why I was drafted now, Howard Mudd had a lot of things like that. And one of the things I don't think a lot of people know, that really the reason why the Andy Reid got into the NFL is because he befriended Howard. Andy would come here to Kansas City to be involved with the Bill Moss football camp because he was the offensive line coach for University of Missouri. And he would come up to camps all the time. And I remember seeing Andy when he was a young offensive line coach at Missouri, and him and I worked together in a couple camps. And he would come up to camp for a couple weeks. There was a lot of college coaches would go to the NFL training camps to kind of
pick up some stuff.
Yeah.
And get known. Be sure.
They befriended each other, and Howard worked on getting him his first job with the Packers. And when he got that first job with the Packers, the rest is history. So
you
Howard
bet.
Mudd, very instrumental in Andy Reid becoming an NFL coach and becoming a great NFL head coach and a Super Bowl winning coach here in Kansas City. So Howard was a great man. We're going to miss him. Coached a lot of great guys. I talked to Zotter today, and I haven't had a chance to get a hold of Alt and Jeff Saturday. Jeff Saturday and I, every time we see each other, we always laugh about Howard because he made a number 61 because of me. So I just want to let you know that.
How about that?
When Jeff Saturday was drafted to Indianapolis, he goes, you're the next Grunny. So every time I see Jeff, and he's gone a long way, I'm sitting here with you, and Jeff Saturday is on ESPN, living the dream. So
this goes back. This goes back to your days. Okay, we used to do the old show. Okay,
that's right.
That's why you're not on ESPN. It has nothing to do with being with me. Oh, you're with me then too.
Yeah,
I forgot. Okay, so maybe it does have something to do with it.
Strippers on the air is not a good thing.
No, that's not a good thing.
Okay,
that
probably
don't allow that ESPN. No,
no, probably wasn't. Probably wasn't the best thing.
Not a good.
But I do want to.
He was a great coach. Iron Mel was a great coach. Great guy, too. Really nice guy. He was always friendly to the media. He always said hi.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't interview him hardly ever because it's always a head coach you stayed away from. In those days, a lot of times, you just stayed away from everybody else, including the coordinators, for all practical purposes. I remember talking to maybe Bill Cowher once or twice or three times when he was with Marty, you know, before he then became head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But you know, you really
you had that inside connection. Wasn't he a Pittsburgh guy too?
He's a Pittsburgh guy.
Yeah,
so
that's
Marty.
How. That's why. Yeah,
so
always had that inside connection.
Yeah, that's good. You got to have those connections.
That's right.
Hey,
that whole crew was a bunch of Pittsburgh guys.
Hold it. An inside connection also with Todd Haley.
Yeah.
So how much good did that do?
How'd that work out for you?
Not well.
You and Paoli got along very well then.
No, Paoli and I did not get along very well.
Either you got along with Haley or Paoli. There wasn't getting along with both of them.
No, there was
two different camps there. But Howard, we'll miss you. We love you.
Yeah.
You're up in that big offensive line room in the sky. And he was a great football player, too. Played for Chicago Bears, played for the San Francisco 49ers.
8 years, I think, but it got cut short. I think he got injured.
He did, bad knees.
Yeah,
he had his knee replaced when I was my second or third year with the Chiefs, and he was still a young guy when he had that happen.
Yeah, and I'll just tell you people out there, it's summertime, it's beautiful, it's terrific. Everybody's out on their motorcycles. All you guys are in cars, surrounding. Just be very careful. And you guys are riding the motorcycles and doing all those things, having a great time. Don't be weaving in and out of traffic. I mean, Howard didn't do that.
No.
But I'm just saying, don't be weaving in and out of traffic and trying to cut this and cut that because, man, it just looks so dangerous, man. Just be careful.
We got enough things going against us right now. We don't need any other stuff.
Else.
So
that's
be careful out there, everybody. Let's watch out for the motorcyclists and motorcyclists. Yep. Be careful, and we don't need you. I know if there's traffic, it's easy for you to kind of cut in and out, but just be careful because we don't want anybody to get hurt. And speaking of not getting hurt, American Shaman with their new product. This is unbelievable, Frank, and I know you're doing a read for it on the radio. And
this
works right in to your wheelhouse. First of all, remember, 30% off all products in every American Shaman store right now as this show goes on. Grunny and Frank send you. Get over there and buy some great stuff. But this new product's unbelievable, and I'm getting one. And I want to get one for my daughter, too, because she'll be working in her clinicals and hospitals. And when she's going in and going out of that hospital, she can use this product. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a nano spray gun. It's just what it sounds like. It's a spray gun. You can use it. You fill it with the American Shaman Cleansing Wash, and then you spray. It's all non-toxic. Takes care of all the viruses and bacteria it comes in contact with, and you're good to go. If you're a business, it's great because you can, instead of having everybody pump, you know, and try to catch it with that water, it is very, the wash itself is very liquid, like water.
Yeah, yep.
It's not like the hand sanitizer, which has a little bit more body to it.
Mm-hmm.
But so that this nano spray gun's great. Sprays it. Everything it touches, it just kills the viruses and bacteria. And terrific for businesses because they can use it very easily. Pull the trigger, you got it.
Yeah, and the American Shaman, those people over there are so smart, and they're doing such a great job of trying to adjust and make new products and bring new things to Kansas City and really the whole country to help out everybody. They also have four or five of the tents now over there as samples that they're going to be shopping around here a little bit. Think about how great that would be if you were the Blue Valley School District and you had a high school football game and, you know, people are coming into the high school football game, they walk right through this thing and they get sprayed down. I mean, obviously, if you have asthma or something, there's probably some different things that you maybe can't go through. But 99% of the people could go through these things and you get that spray and you know what? It kills a lot. The Denver Broncos are doing it right now. The same exact product with the same exact stuff. And they do it when they walk off the football field and walk on the football field for every practice. So this is coming to the stadium near you.
Be
proactive. Yeah. American Shaman is going to be coming out with these tents, too. So I'd say all the high school teams around the Kansas City metro area, if you're going to have football games, might as well get this product.
Right. We're going to talk to Vince. Okay. Vince is going to join us here at about a quarter to the next hour, and he's going to give us the latest on the spray gun. And, you know, Vince Sanders is the owner, CEO, founder of American Shaman, and he and his company do just such great work. It's awesome.
And right before that, at about 6:25, we're going to have Rob Iannello on, who is the assistant head coach and the offensive coordinator for University of Buffalo. The MAC was the first conference to kind of make this move. They kind of set the precedent, and then a couple other conferences went to the wayside, some smaller conferences, and now we have the Big Ten and the Pac-12 who've kind of put things on ice for a while. So we'll talk to him about that decision, because I know he was heavily involved with the decision, and he'll give us kind of the why and what they're thinking in the MAC, and we'll see what's going on with him. Rob's a great guy, coached over here at University of Kansas. I know if anybody knows football at all, you know Rob Iannello. Boy, he's recruited Kansas City many, many times. So I know there's a lot of football coaches out there that are just leaving practice right now to listen to the show that know Rob and have been visited by Rob over the years when he was at Wisconsin, Arizona. He was at Notre Dame and Kansas, and he's been through Kansas City many, many times. So it's great to have Rob on.
Yeah, it'll be great to have him on. He's, you know, it's amazing when you listen to that resume, the places those coaches have gone. I mean, you did the high school thing and went right to Kansas. I'm sure you could have latched on and kept on going and jumping from here to there, maybe back to Notre Dame, maybe here, whatever. But their coaching path is amazing what some of these guys will do, because he was at Akron for a while and all these other places. So it's crazy.
Yeah, so the Kansas City Chiefs, I think Friday is it the official start of kind of the real training camp?
Yeah, surreal.
Is this Friday? But it's really interesting. I got a couple of notes and tidbits. First of all, Clyde Helaire is working as a punt returner.
Ooh, boy.
So he's been doing a lot of the catching punts and stuff. And I'm wondering, okay, so you have Darrell Williams, you have Darwin Thompson, you have DeAndre Washington.
Yeah, you got DeAndre Washington.
And then you have
Texas Tech.
And then, of course, you have Clyde Helaire. So you have a good set of running backs. I'm wondering if saying, hey, listen, we're going to work this guy in, but we want to get the ball in his hand as much as we possibly can. And maybe we're going to put him back to the return punts, because he has such unbelievable speed and quickness in the open field and makes people miss. When you watch him in college, that's the one thing that really impressed me. Guys had him wired. They had a perfect angle to tackle him. He just makes people miss. So they're working him a little bit in the special teams areas too.
Yeah, I know, as Lewis Riddick said, if you're a fantasy football player, draft him first. And you just go, huh? Who? Oh, yo, that's a Chiefs first. I said, yeah, draft him first, because Andy loves his back. When he was in Philadelphia, it was Brian Westbrook.
Yeah,
was his favorite guy. And Brian, you talk about an all-purpose back, and he returned kicks, and he also caught the ball out of the backfield, and he ran the football. So he did everything for Andy in Philadelphia, and Andy loves backs like this. And this kid is a three-down back. This kid can catch. Not sure about his blocking ability, but he can catch. And the kid can run with a football. He's got great speed. He's got great instincts. And apparently, according to him, Andy's playbook, which is supposed to be extremely complicated, was no problem for him early. But then Andy came on, I think, a little bit after that and said, well, we were giving him things. Now we're going to load him up.
Right.
Now, and you know what that means. He's going to pile the whole book on him and then start calling plays and go, okay, what do you do? Okay, wait, they just switched defense. Linebacker just milled him. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do? What do you do? And so they're going to have to educate him that way as well. And you don't get the reps on the field, Tim, and you can talk about that a little bit, about how much different it is to try to think it through, even look on film, without you aren't the one that's actually touching the ball and going through it until now. Now all of a sudden they are together. They're putting the game plans together. They're putting all practices together, all the plays in the playbook, and now they're going to really see where he lands on.
Yeah, I like to compare it to when you're studying for the driving test, and you see those little cars that are on the road, and you're supposed to stay a certain amount of distance away, and they have the little arrows, and then there's all those different rules, and they have those different pictures. That's a lot like a playbook. I mean, there's all these different rules, and there's all these different pictures, and the X's and O's, they're not going anywhere. They're right there.
It looks easy.
But when you're driving and all of a sudden you get on the expressway, you better have an idea what the hell you're doing, because everything's going to come at you pretty quick.
Yeah.
Same thing when it comes to a playbook with a young guy. You know, they think they kind of got it wired until all of a sudden they're thrown into traffic. And then once they're thrown into traffic, things go pretty quick. So Yeah, he's gonna. He's a smart kid, and that's great. I love the confidence, but you know, it's gonna come fast and furious when it does come, and it may not come during training camp. It may not all flash like that. Click, when the first game comes around, all of a sudden you think you know exactly where that Will linebacker's at when he's your responsibility in pass protection, and you're looking around. All of a sudden they're shifting him and they're moving him, and they got all these different guys with all these different numbers, and all of a sudden some guy comes off the edge, and you're not quite sure, was that the strong safety or was that the Will backer? Am I supposed to pick him up or not supposed to pick him up? Right. You know, so is he the hot guy? If I block the hot guy, you're in big trouble because that means somebody else is coming. You probably missed it. So all those things happen so fast that a young guy, I mean, you just got to get – and you can't learn it. Just like you said, you can't learn it until you get on the field and you experience it. Just like when you're driving. You know, you can look at those books and you can study them. And all you out there 13, 14, 15-year-old kids are looking at the books. They think it's easy to drive. And then all of a sudden they're driving on 435 at 5 o'clock. And then they realize it's not that easy. So I'm wishing him well. The offensive line, there's a first team and a second team right now. We got Eric Fisher, obviously. Mm-hmm. Mike Reimers is starting right now at the left guard position.
This is going to be very fluid. I think offensive line is going to be fluid because, you know, they have three of the guys. They got the two tackles in the center. But they lost both guards,
right,
either through gone or they've opted out. So even, you know, Niang has opted out. So.
Yeah, Niang and Dr. Tardif opted out. But Austin Reeder will be at center. And Andrew Willie, who has had injury problems, and he's right now at right guard. And then, of course, Mitch Schwartz. But they have been working in, and how do you say his name, Assembly?
Yeah.
Assembly has been working in with Reimers. Now, don't read too much into that because, remember, Reimers has been here all of camp, all of summer camp. He was around during all the Zoom meetings and everything else, and Assembly was not there. So he's still learning the offense.
And he's a vet, though. He's a veteran player. So he was a pretty good player a couple years ago. We'll just see how this all works out in Kansas City.
So. It'll be interesting to see. I think one of those two guys are going to start, or maybe both, you know, if Andrew Willie can't stay healthy. So, but there's some good options. I mean, both of those guys are veteran guys. You know, they might be a little bit long in the tooth, and as an offensive lineman getting long in the tooth, I'm raising my hand right now. It's not the easiest job in the world when you get old. So hopefully these guys got a couple of years left.
That's funny, 31 or 32 is old.
It's old. It is old at offensive line.
That's good. I'm glad
it's
to
not
hear
climbing mountains. Can you tell your story?
Oh, yeah, I will.
All right. Well, we got to find a time for Frank to tell his story. This is the greatest story. Frank called me on Sunday morning. He's like, I got to tell you this story. And I had a little tear coming out of my eye for Frank. It was a great, great story. So I'm hoping
it wasn't for Frank.
Well, you know what I mean. Yeah, it was because you were inspired.
I was inspired.
You were inspired.
It's tough to inspire me at my age, you know.
You were inspired. So, you know, it'll be interesting as this camp progresses what's going to happen with this team. And right now, offensively, they just have so many weapons. They have so many fast guys. And people are talking about, well, you know, do they have enough to get the ball to everybody? You know, but think about it.
Well, you know, I think
Hardman,
right?
You got Hill,
And Sammy wants
Kelsey.
Sammy wants like 1,000 looks, you know, and he wants to get the ball at a time, and there isn't enough to go around. And if they use Allaire the way they're talking about using him, he's going to take a lot of touches away from people. So not just Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelsey, but he's going to take his share.
See, I don't see the Chiefs running the ball more than 25 times in a game. I just don't see them doing that.
I don't either. I don't even think it's going to be close.
Yeah, maybe 20 times, maybe 15 to 20 times, no more than 25 times in a game.
Where they actually hand it off.
Where they hand it off. But I do see them throwing the ball to the running back a little bit more in the flats with screens.
Little dump offs, which really are running plays, but they're really not because Mahomes is going to toss the ball.
So. Right. And I love it because that gives Mahomes an option quickly. Because you want to get the damn ball out of his hand because you don't want him taking those shots. And if you trust that running back and you know he's going to be in the right spot and he can catch the ball, then you feel a lot better just getting rid of the ball and not taking those hits.
That's right. Now, that's why you worry about the offensive line, the cohesiveness of the offensive line, because he's the franchise. I mean, you got to protect that guy. And Allaire will be called upon to block as well, you know, in certain situations. So it's going to be imperative for those guys to block and protect Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he's the golden child.
All right, Frank, as we go into Rob here in a couple minutes, just want to touch on a bit. Remember, Big Ten has pushed their season back to the spring. They're talking about 6 to 8 games. Their medical people, the medical people in the Big Ten from all the different schools, kind of met with the presidents, and their medical people told the presidents, hey, we just can't get this thing done. And we just, you know, we don't feel comfortable putting our guys in with the health and the safety of players with the COVID. And then the people are talking about this heart and lung problems associated with the virus. So they didn't feel comfortable with it. And I think the Pac-12 is basically the same thing. Now, the Big Ten has talked about maybe only 6 to 8 games in the spring. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out, if they're going to play
just
6 games or 8 games, or what they're going to do. And, you know, how many players are going to stick around for that? And it's something we'll talk to Rob about, what he thinks the guys are going to stick around or guys are going to bail. But the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 will try to continue with all their protocols. And you know, we heard from K-State today and we heard from Missouri today, and the protocols that they put in place are working for them on their campus as of right now. And I agree with you, Frank. Now, all of a sudden, here comes 20,000, 25,000 kids from all the different places around the country. Is it going to continue to work? So you have that.
They're not going to be able to social distance their entire semester. No. Come on. It's ridiculous to even ask them. You can't. I mean, these kids are college kids.
Right.
They got to go to school, too. Okay, so they're bringing kids back on campus. You're going back to classroom. And if they make some special deal, no, the football players do not have to attend a class in the classroom. They're going to do all theirs by Zoom or whatever, but other students can't.
All hell will break loose because people are going to say, why are the football players' lives and health more important
than my child?
But the SEC, ACC, and the Big 12, they're medical people, and there's a guy from the ACC from Duke who's a pretty prevalent big shot guy for this whole COVID thing. And he said, hey, listen, we can get this done. We just have to go through the protocols. I think they give it a shot, Frank. I still think it's below 50% to even play one game.
Yeah, either that or get through the whole season. It's probably even worse than that. The only one, you know, we all know the SEC wants to play.
They're
football crazy and it's nuts. And Big 12 came up. The only outfit I really haven't heard from, we haven't heard from much, is the ACC. I mean, we really haven't heard this type of, you know, Bob Bolesby was out there today. Big Ten commissioner was out, Big 12 commissioner and presidents and all those guys were out.
You've heard all their coaches.
You haven't heard from the muckety mucks in the conference.
And for everybody out there who's upset with maybe an AD, or if you're upset because you're losing your football season, this decision is made by one person and one person only. That is the president of the university
with input.
With input. But the main is like, listen, the president says, we are not doing this. That the AD can't say, yes, we are, because we're not.
Right.
He is the final decision maker. And, you know, they're talking about teams like Nebraska, and I think Michigan even talked about Ohio State, how they want to go and play somewhere else.
They already told Nebraska. Scott Frost was the guy that was out front.
Yeah.
Said, I'll go. I'm going to go play whoever wants to play. And then the Big Ten came back and said, well, you won't be in the Big Ten anymore. It's going to cost you a little money there in Nebraska.
If Ohio State says that.
Well, it's a different story.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are they going to say?
Or Michigan.
Right. Yeah. So it'll be interesting.
Or Penn State.
And that's something we'll ask Rob, because I'm sure he has an opinion on that. All right, Frank, let's take a break. Don't forget, 30% off all American Shaman stores. And I tweeted out the new spray gun.
Nano spray gun. Fill it with a cleansing wash from American Shaman. And it sprays a non-toxic liquid out there and kills all the viruses and bacteria. And Vince Sanders, the owner and CEO, will join us in our last segment.
All right,
Jamie. And the Broncos are using this.
Jamie, I know you're listening. Drop a couple off on the porch tonight. I appreciate it. You're listening to
Crunch Time.
Hi, Frank. We got one of my best buddies on. Although he didn't hire me the first time, but that's okay. Go ahead, Chief.
He was probably pretty damn smart. In fact, hiring you the second time wasn't a really good idea anyway. Okay, whether it's first or second, but we got Rob Ionello on the phone, recruiting coordinator, wide receivers coach, and associate head coach of the Buffalo Bulls. Okay, from the MAC, that's the University of Buffalo. You know, we actually played them when I was at Villanova.
Okay,
way back.
Yeah,
way back in the day. Rob, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. How are things up in Buffalo these days?
where they're doing great. Shoot, this is the most relaxed August I've had in a long, long time. Right now.
I can attest to that. A couple Augusts ago, we were together. There was a lot more stress than this August. That's
not
for sure.
A lot more stress. It was stressing you when you got up in the morning.
That's exactly right. Hey, Rob, thanks so much for coming on. And you know,
oh, shoot, thanks for asking. I'm glad to hear your voice.
So the MAC conference, you guys were the first major conference to jump in and say, hey, listen, we just can't pull this off because of the health and safety concerns of our players. How tough of a decision was that? And kind of go through the process that you guys went through to make this decision.
Well, I think it was a very difficult decision, you know, by our president, right? Very thoughtful decision. I know there had been a lot of work done by our athletic directors and people for months about how to put the right protocols in place and then how to get a medical panel together to study this and give us advice on how to do it safely, but to keep up with the patterns and the ever-changing world of this virus. And so they met last week. They had a meeting on Thursday and I guess had a lot of discussion and couldn't come to a final decision and then tabled it till Saturday. And then they had the vote on Saturday, unanimous vote to push the season to the spring, and so we were prepared either way on that Saturday with our players, you know, but obviously we were gonna the process was gonna be the presidents would meet, and then they would meet with the ADs, tell them the decision, and the AD would tell the head coach, and we tell our team. Well, somewhere in the middle of there, a few minutes before 10, it broke on Twitter, right? So we had to be able to. So our players actually got a chance to hear the news before we could tell them ourselves. That was disappointing, you know. I felt that way for them. You'd rather tell them yourself and stuff. But for so long, you know, I think we just, you know, Coach Leipold, Lance, our head coach, had to get in front of the team, whether it be Zoom or after some workouts, and talk to them, and just didn't have a lot of answers for things that were asked or coming up. And that's a difficult place to be in as the leader of the organization, you know, to not have answers to things. And I know it was a hard decision, but I think it was a decision made with all the right intentions of you know, not just football was affected, but soccer and cross country and volleyball, and you know, there's a lot of other sports affected by this. You know, athletes going into their senior seasons, which is a huge deal. So there's just a lot of moving parts involved with this decision, not just football.
We're talking with Rob Iannello. He is the associate head coach of the Buffalo Bulls, University of Buffalo. Rob, now give me a procedure. Now, what do you do with the kids from this point until you will play in the spring? Okay, meaning what can you do? Have the rules been changed? Because I know, you know, there's contact time. There's no contact time.
Yeah.
You know, and then you've got recruiting and how that's all going to work. And, I mean, this has thrown it really into a tailspin, hasn't it? So how do you handle the kids? Yeah.
Well, we're doing in our minds right now. We haven't gotten full direction. We got some direction from our conference. But in our minds, we sat there and said, okay, September, October, November are now February,
right.
March, and April.
Right.
Okay. So you know, we anticipate having some time where we're going to be able to, you know, have them with our strength and conditioning coaches. We can do now. So we're in what they call an 8-hour period right now. So 8 hours a week they can strength and condition train, or we can meet with them or do some things like that. And that's till school starts. And then when school starts, we'll stay in that window. And then eventually we expect them to give us some parameters for like a fall practice, right? So if we're going to spring practice, that'd be like 15 practices, I think,
right.
In 36 days is
right.
what I remember right. So we're anticipating some type of format like that maybe we will practice in October or something. And then after that, have some more strength training. Now, most campuses like ours being one of them will shut down at Thanksgiving and go all virtual. You know, for final exams in the last couple weeks of the semester. So, and then we'll have to get some marching orders about, okay, the season starts here, so now we got to bring our guys back here and have a ramp up to some kind of training camp, although you'll be in school during training camp, and then, you know, have a format for a season. So, you know, so that's kind of what we're approaching in our minds. We let any of the guys that wanted to go home after this announcement. So Monday we had several guys go home. I think by the end of the week we'll have like 35 players have gone home. And then for the guys that are still here, they'll be able to work out with our strength coach and on a daily basis. So that's kind of how we're approaching it with our guys. And then as we get more information about, the questions are about eligibility. The questions are about what constitutes a red shirt next year. I mean, when would you play? What would the format be? Those are all questions we won't get into September sometime, maybe some answers to. So we've just tried to take the approach with our guys. Here's what we know. Here's what we're going to do. So they know something, right? And then as we know other things, then we give them that information. But we're trying not to be up in front of them any longer and say, hey, we don't know this or that. Here's what we do know. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what Buffalo's going to do. And then we'll move from there.
Rob, you have been around most of the Power Five and other conferences. Gosh, you've been in the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the SEC. So obviously the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 decided, hey, we're going to give it a shot. We're going to see if we can get this thing going. In your mind's eye, as a college football fan now, as you have a nice August and September to kind of relax and maybe watch some football games, what do you think is going to be the key for these conferences to get their football season in and going and finished? Or what do you see, what would be the thing that would cause them to shut it down?
You know, the X factor here, like for us, like Buffalo, like we had 8 sports testing in the summer since June 15th, and we had over 600 tests, and in 8 sports we only had 4 positives. Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
And that was on their initial time coming to campus. Okay. And I know we just finished those testings before the postponement of the season. We had 208 guys tested last week, 0 positives. Okay. So at this time, when you have your teams together, you can create your own little bubble. Okay. With your team, right?
Right.
The X factor is going to be for any of these conferences, I think, to succeed is going to be, when students come back on campus, right, and now your team is outside of their bubble mixing in with, the university community, all right, and then when a team you're going to play is out of their bubble mixing with their university community, now you play each other, okay? So to me, that's where you're going to get, if you're going to have any spread, okay, that's where it's going to happen, all right? And so how is that handled? How much testing are you doing? Do you get the tests back in timely fashion, right? I mean, that's been an issue. We had that issue ourselves, okay? Do you get it back in a timely enough fashion? Do you have enough testing? And then where's the contract tracing, right? Because we asked a bunch of questions to people. You played offensive line. We asked, if our left tackle tests positive, who's out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, his roommate's out. But does that mean the left guard's out? Does that mean the defensive end he went against every day in practice is out? Is that defensive end's roommate out? What about the guys in the huddle? I mean, so all those questions, and our people didn't have it. They had good answers, but they didn't have all the answers, okay, to that. And so those are some of the things that were in our minds. Okay, how do you do this? For the walkthrough period that we were permitted to have by the NCAA, we broke our team into 2 teams, blue and white. And so we separated our guys so that we can, A, it gave us a great chance for more reps, but B, they were separated, so they weren't together. So if something was to happen, you wouldn't lose your whole, a good portion of your guys. Right. We started out with 8 in a group, went to 25 in a group, went to 50 in a group, and then we were going to bring the whole team together and have over 100 for training camp, which we never kind of got off the ground with.
Right. We're talking with Rob Iannello. He's the associate head coach of the Buffalo Bulls from the MAC, University of Buffalo. Rob, okay, now how does this impact your recruiting situation? Because now you're moving all these guys. Some guys might want to opt out and not play this year at all.
Yeah.
And then they'd be coming back, filling spots that maybe an incoming recruit thought was going to be, a good position for him to be in because he looked like they have a chance to play. And all of a sudden now there's a senior back in that spot who took a year off. How are you handling recruiting?
Well, this year, and Granny, this has been the most unique year of recruiting in my entire career because when we went to the shutdown, it was all virtual. I mean, we've had, God bless, a number of guys placed their trust in us that have never been to our campus. But we gave virtual tours. We had more Zoom meetings than you can ever imagine with parents and players and things. And I think what will eventually happen, my hope is that, you know, I think the NCAA came out with something late today that if you opt out, you don't play this year, you can get the extra year of eligibility right. back. You don't lose it. And if you're a fifth-year senior, you'll get a sixth year.
Right.
Okay? So I think the next step for them, which I would imagine they'll take, is to say you can go over your 85 scholarship count for your seniors, right? Maybe seniors don't count in that cap, all right? And then it allow you to continue to recruit the guys you have. You know, we have X number. We have a lot of commitments right now. You know, so it allow you to keep your commitments for the guys you've recruited or are recruiting, and then keep your commitments to your guys on your current team. Now, that's also going to be an expense, right? I mean, because teams are going to have to, be willing to fund over 85 scholarships. You might have to fund up to 100 or 105 like the old days. But I do think that is going to be something everybody's going to have to be prepared to do for their seniors if you bring them all back. Now, if we play in the spring, then those guys – get their season then you'll have a natural progression of guys, you know, moving through their eligibility. But if a guy opts out, then I think they're going to have to give you the chance to keep his scholarship, and that doesn't count in your 85 count. That would be my best guess of what the NCAA will eventually come to.
Rob, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about your better half, Denise, my favorite person in the world.
Oh, thank you. You know, she is definitely
so,
the better half. She is,
she's
coaching Ashley's team right now, her little – basketball team. She said they don't play any games now, but she's in the gym with them right now. Zach tagged along.
Well, that's the thing I was going to ask about. How was that with Denise coaching Zach in high school?
Yeah.
How was that relationship?
It was only a couple of clipboards. Only a couple of clipboards.
I was going to say.
And no technicals, but a couple of close ones. I go to her games. I sit up in the corner. I don't sit with the other parents because, not because I'm not antisocial. I just kind of in the corner with the girls and I'm just watching and I'm just going, okay, all right, Zach might want to come home with me after this game. He might not want to drive home with mom, you know. But it's been a real, I think, a great thing for Zach. And, you know, Denise is coaching Ashley's team. She coached Zach's summer AU team, but then the high school coach asked her to be an assistant, you know, on the team. So she had to go through courses and stuff to become an assistant on the varsity. And it's really worked out great. And I think it's fun. I think it's neat.
Now, Zach be, what, a junior this year coming up?
Zach will be a senior coming up.
Senior. Oh, my gosh. So what's going on with their football season real quick?
Well, they right now, New York pushed back. They can't start practice a month later. So September, like, 21st. And they're supposed to play in October, play their full slate. But no state championships in New York now. They'll just, you know, they'll win to play out their sections and have a section champ, but they'll have no state champions, you know. So that's the plan right now.
Well, Rob,
we're New York State, God bless, we're like below 1% in positivity rate, you know,
right.
So right now. So God bless we've come out of this right now. We were not very good, obviously, for a long time, and unfortunately, you know, a lot of people lost their lives and it was terrible, but we've come right now we're on a great end of it. Yeah.
Well, Rob, thanks so much for coming on. It's great to hear your voice also. And if you get into Kansas City to recruit, give us a call. I'd love to talk to you say hello. And tell Denise I said hi. And, hey, your kids, boy, we follow all their stuff on Facebook. Oh. They're such beautiful kids.
Yeah, I follow your family, too. God bless. God bless Sarah and your family. And great day. Thanks for having me on. And God bless you guys. And stay safe.
All right, Rob.
Thanks,
good
Rob.
Luck with
Appreciate
everything.
You coming on, buddy.
And coach them up.
Yep.
Yeah, we will. We're going to coach him up, guys. Take care. God bless.
All right, thanks. All right, that's Rob Iannello from University of Buffalo. Was at University of Kansas with me and at Notre Dame and at Alabama, Arizona, Wisconsin, a bunch of great schools. Really, really good coach. He's coaching many, many wide receivers who played in the NFL. All right, we're going to take a break. Don't forget, 30% off right now at all CBD American Shaman stores. And Frank?
Vin Sanders will be with us, the owner and the founder of American Shaman. He's going to join us and talk about the Nano Spray Gun.
Can't wait. All right, you're listening to Crunch Time. All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunert and Frank Bolton. We are brought to you by CBD American Shaman, your finest CBD products. And they are reaching out and doing some unbelievable things to take care of Kansas City during this crazy time of COVID-19 and all the different effects have fallen over this country. And it's great to have a company like CBD American Shaman and a man like Vince Saunders here to Vince Sanders here to help us out and to give us some great information. Vince, thanks so much for coming on the show. And you got to tell us about the new Frank. Give us some information on the new product.
The Nano Spray Gun, right?
Absolutely.
You know, yeah, just tell us a little bit about it. And then what gave you the idea to try to manufacture this thing and put it all together and get it out on the market?
So, you know, we had different guns already, but that were large industrial guns that are electrostatic. So that what that does is puts a little charge in there, so it'll stick to everything underneath tables, on top tables, the ceiling, covers every surface, so you know everything is sterile. But we were looking at that, and we realized the small gun was available that did the same thing. So for in-home or small business use, it's amazing. I mean, it really does as good a job as the big guns for a fraction of the price. These things are several thousand dollars. This little guns, a little over $100. So we wanted to bring that out with the hyperfluorous acid, obviously, that we have been making for several months now, and make it available where it's online and in a couple stores here in Kansas City right now. It's kind of limited because the stock that we have has gone pretty fast. We'll have a lot of them in over the next few weeks, but they are available right now in KC in two different stores, at the 132nd State Line and at the North Kansas City store in the Price Chopper there at Berea North Oak.
Vince, and so let's talk about the smaller gun. Who would be, would this be for a family? Would it be for a small business? I know you said for the big business you have the big guns, but for a smaller business, maybe a restaurant or something like that, and then would this be something you would want to use in your home?
Absolutely. You can definitely use it in your home. You can use it in a relatively large office. Actually, my chiropractor is using it all day, every day, and loves it. We use it here in the office space at the factory. We have a couple doctors that have already picked it up that are using it in their waiting rooms and offices. So it's perfect for I say small space, but really a 1,500 square foot or maybe 3,000 square foot office. Yeah, you go through a 400 square foot room in a minute. That's how quickly it puts out a lot of flow.
Vince, where did you guys come up with this idea? I've seen this now. The Denver Broncos are using a form of this with the tent, and I know you guys have some prototypes of the tent that you guys are working on also with this same misting process. But where did you come up with the idea of the gun? And so you can use it for rooms. What about people that, let's say, first responders that are coming out of their hospital or they're coming off of their shift over the firemen or policemen or ambulance workers? Can you have a personal spray where you can spray yourself down a little bit and make sure that you're getting when you go home to your families, that you have nothing on you that you don't want to bring home?
That you said that, because actually we were talking to I'll mention the name of the hospital, a large hospital here in KC today, because a lot of the infectious doctors would like those at home so that when they come home they can literally sterilize themselves before they go in because they're so concerned of bringing something home. So for a first responder or something like that, it'd be amazing. Or really even for the back of an ambulance or paddy wagon, that would be a perfect tool.
And then if you decided, or if they did, and we're talking with Vince Sanders, he is the founder, owner, grand poobah, as I love to call him, of American Shaman. If a college football, maybe even high school football, college football, pro football, whatever, decide that they're going to have a limited number of fans that they would like to allow back into the stadiums, could you use that tent as a walkthrough area then to spray down those fans?
You could. I mean, that's why we designed it, was for specifically events. They actually, interestingly enough, the first event this is going to be using it this weekend at the top of the Westin Crown Center. Quixotic is doing a big show out where the tennis courts used to be, and in order to enter, you'll have to go through one of our tents. So that would be the first commercial use of it. Yeah. It's amazing. It puts up an incredible fog. You simply walk through it. All the surface area of your body and clothing is touched. It's completely organic, non-harmful, doesn't do anything to your clothes. Also, the Renaissance Festival is putting in about a dozen of them this year, God willing, to get open. But in order to go to the Renaissance Festival there in Bonner Springs, you'll have to go through one of our tents.
Wow, that's just amazing. So, you know, they say necessity is the mother of invention. And you guys have just done such an unbelievable job of making adjustments. And we know what a great product your CBD products are. And you come out with CBN, you come out with CBG, and all the different tinctures and all the different creams that we use. But, I mean, it's just amazing to me that you guys have adjusted and done the things that you've done. I mean, talk about that process. And I mean, so you sit upstairs and say, hey, what can we do to help out Kansas City and try to help out the people that use our products?
Yeah, you really do. And that's exactly how the sanitizer products came. We were like, you know, what, middle of March, we're sitting there like, what can we do? And we're like, hey, sanitizing products, we're ideally set up to do that. We could certainly begin making these available. And actually, the very first people that got them were the first responders in KCMO, police and fire departments. We gave several thousand of the 4 ounces and hundreds of gallons to refill, and then have replenished that several times since. But after that, we actually had the first responders all over the country that we've given product to, as well as several large homeless shelters. So as you know, Tim, in fact, you were there at the one at Bishop Spencer Center.
Yeah, and I mean, that was great to see, you know, people that are in need, and you guys have done a wonderful job of taking care of people in need, first responders. And, you know, one of the things that I love about you, and you and I have talked about it many times, is your uncle who helped you to kind of come up with this business model said, we want you to help other people, and you've really done that.
Well, that's kind of the DNA of the company, really, truly. I mean, that's what we do.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for sponsoring this show, and thanks for doing all you do in Kansas City. We're lucky to have a company like CBD American Shaman, and God bless what you guys are doing.
You bet.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care. Have a good evening.
Vince, right. You too. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you. Bye,
Tim. All right, bye. That's Vince Sanders. And listen, I understand this, and they're our sponsor and everything else, but this is no crap.
It works.
It works.
Everything they do works.
And they do such a wonderful job of thinking outside of the box to help people. And make sure that you guys go to an American Shaman store near you. You've been listening to Crunch Time.